Good evening to each of you. It is good to be here and to worship with you here this evening. My 17-year-old daughter is with us this evening as well, Maria. She knew I was going to say something, but I couldn't let her hang. Two of her five daughters are with us tonight. I feel honored that they're with us. And Levi and Emma said that if we come here tonight to preach, so have pie and ice cream after the service, I said, I'll come preach. I'm not inviting the whole church, though. I'm not sure what all you talked about this morning in your Sunday school lesson. I can't remember the lesson aim, but it had something to do with truth, being truthful. I don't remember exactly the lesson aim, but so I thought about a message for this evening. I want to talk tonight the importance of the truth, because I feel like a burden on my heart is that truth anymore in our world is made out to be whatever anybody wants it to be. That's almost a reality of the world that we live in. Truth can be what you want it. Truth can be what you want it. We have the truth. And we must, our lives must line up with this book. So important that we do that. So I invite you to turn with me this evening to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, a familiar passage of scripture here. There's a lot more in this passage of scripture than what I can share here this evening. So the subject of the armors of God, I'm going to pick out one of the armors, and we're going to talk about that this evening. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I believe this evening we could just stop right here, and we could just have a, just think about that verse. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The words power and might stick out to me in that verse. There is a tremendous power available to the child of God. Tremendous power available through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we're drawn to power. We like power and might. And yet it's in the Lord where we find our power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore. Having done everything to stand. Stand therefore. As I think about that phrase, it has a military tone to it. You think of the military, the soldiers on the battlefield. Having done everything, the war is raging. What do they say? Hold the line. Hold the line. I don't know if you ever played tug of war. I played tug of war already a couple times. And you had the coach. Hold, hold, right? And then there's your time to pull, and then hold. We need to hold the line, brothers and sisters. When it comes to God and his word, the truth. Stand therefore. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I feel like if Ephesians kind of takes a shift from the scene of Christian doctrine and duty, if you go back to even the beginning verses of Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is the right thing to do. Even go back to fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, and so on. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about marriage, wives submitting to their husbands. Oh, there's so much good stuff. We could, husbands to love their wives. And so I sort of feel like there's a shift right here in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. A shift from this Christian doctrine and duty to that of a battlefield where the forces of evil make an ongoing attack against God's people. And he goes on and tells us about this warfare. That we are fighting as God's people. There are tremendous powers in the unseen world. Forces of darkness. The devil himself determined to destroy everything that is good and godly. I think we would all agree with that here this evening. Christian warfare is not merely contending against godless philosophies or individuals caught up in cults or dabbling with atheism. It is actually a battle against demonic forces. Evil forces that have tremendous powers. Verse 12 of our text here this evening talks about rulers of darkness. And that's why we need the power of Christ in our lives to live victorious Christian lives. We need the armor of God. The reason we need the armor of God is because we are fighting a battle with a determined enemy that is powerful and he is cunning. I don't know what for battle that you might be facing here this evening, but remember that Satan is the enemy. He is the enemy, and he's out to destroy anything that is good and anything that is godly. I want to just touch a little bit on this spiritual warfare. There's many definitions in the Bible that talk about, that describe Satan. Described in the Bible, he's described as the deceiver, the liar, the accuser, the murderer, the tempter. He's the wicked, he's the fallen angel. He's the god of this world, the prince of demons. The prince of the power of the air, the rulers of darkness. He's called a serpent. And there's many definitions for Satan, for the devil. I believe there's a warning here. He talks in verse 12 about his powers. And I don't want to make too much of this because we know that we serve an all-powerful God that is much more powerful than him. We're aware of that. But let's not be naive to the powers of darkness. I believe there are people who in today's society have unhealthy fascinations with evil powers. I think that we need to be extremely careful. The devil sometimes draws people into evil practices because of these fascinations. Just a couple of observations that we're making here concerning spiritual warfare. We also notice in this passage of Scripture that These evil forces are numerous. It talks about principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. It conveys the idea, to me at least, that there's numerous evil forces that we fight against. They even seem to be organized into some kind of ranking or hierarchy, if you will. Principalities, powers, rulers, and wickedness in high places, and so on. But again, as I already mentioned, the evil forces that we wrestle with are spiritual. They're spiritual forces. They're not physical. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against evil forces. We could talk some this evening about some of these tactics, such as temptation, enticing believers to do, and how things that they ought not to have. False teaching, which is a big one, I believe the enemy uses. Again, some of the tactics and some of the methods, false teaching, especially in our day of technology and social media, and might I include, which is technology, but AI. Oh, brothers, what is happening? Ungodly. It's scary to me. Although I don't think we need to live in fear, because I believe that is also one of his tactics. 1 Peter 5:8, the devil is a roaring lion, doing his best to cause fear, discouragement, doubt in all of our hearts. And I'd have to say, I believe he's pretty successful in causing fear. Acronym for the word fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Fear. I believe another one of his tactics is he uses affliction as a means of tactic against believers in Christ, doing his best to break down our resistance. I have to think of the life of Job. And how Job was tormented day and night. But what did Job say? He said, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even though he slay me, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Trust that can be our testimony here this evening. So I don't know what you might be facing tonight, what the storms might be that you're going through, but brothers and sisters, never let the presence of a storm cause you to question the presence of God. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to question the presence of God. So let's think about this armor tonight, the first armor that he mentions here in Ephesians chapter 6, this belt of truth. Talks about having your loins girt about with truth and having on a breastplate of righteousness. Well, the belt of truth is the armor that we would like to look at here this evening. As I would understand it, Paul was in prison in the company of soldiers. And for what I understand, having your waist girded with truth is referring to a belt that was worn by the Roman soldiers to hold their loose clothing and possibly the rest of their armor in place. This belt, it helped them to be prepared for any attack that they might experience from the opposing party. There was not to be any loose clothing or armor that would be in the way of a soldier during a time of battle. I believe it speaks of being ready. I believe it speaks of readiness. As God's people, we know that. You know, I can remember soon after I gave my heart to the Lord. I remember coming to church one Sunday. Isaac Gaiman is no longer with us. Isaac was such a blessing in my life, but I remember coming to church one Sunday morning, and Isaac just had his way of, "How's it going, brother? How's it going, brother?" And I said, "Isaac, I feel like I'm even struggling more than what I was before I was a believer." "Oh yeah, yeah," he's not surprised. And so just a reminder that living the Christian life is not always easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard to stand up for what is right. What is truth? What is the truth? Turn with me to John chapter 18, if you would, please. John chapter 18, verses 37, I believe, and 38. Verse 37 of John 18 says, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth?" What is truth? Pilate here claiming to have more power than Jesus. "Don't you know that I have power to release or power to condemn you?" Jesus said, "You have no power at all except to be given you from above." Don't forget that, brothers and sisters. Never forget that. You have no power lest it was given to you from above. But Pilate here, he asked one of the most important questions that could ever be asked. What is the truth? What is the truth? You see, I thought about this phrase a lot in the last number of years, especially through the COVID years. And in our day of AI and technology and social media, what is the truth? What is the truth? I mean, especially with, I don't even understand AI, so I'm not going to talk about that, but I know there are some things that can be used for good, but there's a lot of things that it can be used for that are not good. It can make all kinds of pictures and scenes that aren't true and makes you wonder, what is truth? Our culture is confused about a lot of things, but it is definitely confused about the truth. We're living in a world that says truth can be anything that you want it to be. Just coming through the month of June, the LGBTQ movement, where they marched the streets of New York City chanting, "We are coming for your children." The simple truth of Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 is under attack more than ever in our world today. God said, "Male and female created he them." And today our children are being taught that they can choose their gender. It's a sad world. What is this world coming of? Many other Bible truths are being challenged. The headship order is the feminist movement. Wives are to submit to their husbands. Husbands are to love their wives. Christ is the head of the church. It's under attack. And unfortunately, it filters down into our churches sometimes, and this ought not to be. Marriage. the Christian woman's veiling, and many other simple truths that we believe and practice are under attack in our world today. We are living in a world that says truth can be anything that you want it to be. That's your truth, my truth is this. Everybody living for themselves. There are no absolutes if we make truth to be whatever we want it to be. There's no absolutes. And we have no absolutes, there is no foundation. I believe it was Winston Churchill, he says, the most valuable thing in the world is what? He says the most valuable thing in the world is the truth. Jesus told Pilate in John 18, verse 37, "For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." John 14 and verse 6, Jesus' own word says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy word, because thy word is truth." Brothers and sisters, tonight, the Bible is our foundation. It must be our foundation. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endureth forever." And I feel here this evening, one of the reasons we need the truth is because I believe one of the devil's primary weapons he uses against his people, against God's people, is deception. The devil questions the truth. He distorts the truth. He twists the truth. He tells lies. He makes all kinds of accusations against God, against God's word, and against God's people. And tonight, you and I, as God's people, we must protect our vital organs with the belt of truth. With the belt of truth. U.S. Congressman Francis E. Waters of Pennsylvania said this during a speech back in 1956. This is the article. He's made this statement. He says, "Control of the media of communication and information means that we can control the minds of the people." Control the media of communication and information means that we can control the minds of the people. We cannot go to social media and the internet for our source of truth. I believe one of the greatest, I believe one of the greatest dangers that the church is facing today is the internet. I believe that with all of my heart. And all the teaching and the preaching that you can find on YouTube or wherever you find it. I believe it is one of the greatest threats to our Anabaptist churches in the 21st century. At the heart of all apostasy is a false view regarding the authority and the trustworthiness of the Bible. The heart of apostasy is a false view regarding the authority and trustworthiness of God's word. The word of God must be our compass. Its trustworthiness and accuracy will point us in the right direction. And if you and I fail to base our Christian walk upon the authority and trustworthiness of the Bible, then we too are left without an answer to Pilate's question, what is truth? What is truth? Truth this evening is essential to our worship. John 4:23 says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? In truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's very important that we know the truth. The Bible says that we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. And brothers and sisters, this evening, there's a lot of spirit worship in our world today. A lot of spirit worship. But I question sometimes, where's the truth to match it? Where's the truth? The Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. And now we got to be so careful. We get all hyped up. I mean, there's all kinds of spirit worship. And I'm not saying that this, I'm not saying the spirit isn't important. It is. But so is the truth. The truth needs to match it. I think the truth needs to lead the way. Worship must be vital and real in the heart, and worship must rest on a true perception of God. There must be spirit and there must be truth. Truth without emotion produces dead religion in a church full of artificial admirers. We don't want to be that either. There must be spirit and there must be truth. Truth without emotion produces dead religion and a church full of artificial admirers. But on the other hand, brothers and sisters, emotion without truth cultivates shallow people. Shallow people. We want to be deep people of God. So truth is essential to our worship, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. John 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Will set you free. Jesus identifies true disciples as those that believe in him and continue in his word. See, all through the Bible, we read of people that are either in bondage and those that have been set free. Christ came to set us free from the power of sin that holds so many in bondage. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds could be many a things. Here this evening, I heard strongholds described as a spiritual vice grip. A stronghold is something that needs a power beyond yourself to set us free. Brothers and sisters, we need a power beyond ourselves to set us free. We can't free ourselves. We can't save our own souls. We need a power beyond that that will set us free, that will save us. To be free means to be released from, to no longer be held hostage. And freedom is attached to this idea of continuing in God's word. So I encourage us tonight to read it, to listen to it, to quote it, to memorize it. Learn God's word. It has the power to set you free. God's word is truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if Christ has set you free, then you shall be free indeed. And brothers and sisters, truth does exist. And it is something that we can find and we can possess. It's not something that is hid from us. We can find it if we search for it with all of our heart. Search for it with all of our heart. The devil's goal is to contaminate the truth so that truth loses its power. Andrei Sakharov. Maybe some of you younger ones have heard this name. Andrei Sakharov, I believe he was a political leader in the Soviet Union. He was influential in creating the atomic bomb, as I would understand it. He made this statement. He says, "I've always thought that the most powerful weapon in the world was the bomb, the atomic bomb. And that's why I gave it to my people. But," he says, "I've come to the conclusion that the most powerful weapon in the world is not the bomb. The most powerful weapon in the world is the truth. And the truth is under attack." The truth will set you free if you believe it and live by it. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine." It is sound. It is solid. It's a foundation. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I need that. I need that, brothers and sisters. Young people, you need that. You need the word of God. You need the truth more than ever before. We need to protect it. The Bible is more than a book of information. It is a book of transformation. Book of transformation. If we apply it to our lives and believe it as a written word of God. So when I think about this belt of truth, it also carries the idea, in my mind, it also carries the idea that we need to do everything we can to live a life of truthfulness. We also need to live a life of truthfulness. Not only is it important to know the truth, we also need to live the truth. Not a hearer only, but also a doer of the truth. You and I, as God's people, are called to be salt and light to the world so that others might see Jesus. They might see our good works, and they too will glorify God. Just have to, is my light shining brightly like it should? Am I that city on a hill that God desires me to be? Or have I hid my candle under a bushel? Some years ago, I remember working, I don't remember how many years ago, it was when I installed floor covering and I get into many people's houses. I remember working in this one guy's house. He was an older gentleman. I'm not sure how old he was. I probably good, I don't know. I called him older. Probably in his 60s. He was divorced and he was living with another woman. And he asked me what I thought about his situation. He knew I was a believer. So I told him. I didn't hide the truth. I told him straight up. I didn't beat around the bush. Can't beat around the bush on these things. He He said, well, yeah, he said he knows. And I tell my children not to follow my steps. And brothers and sisters, tonight, it's not enough to simply know the truth. We need to live the truth. I think of Joseph's brothers. They're in Genesis chapter 42. The Bible character that speaks volumes to my life when you follow his story. Joseph's brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery. They fabricated a lie that they found his clothing all torn and bloody. Joseph's father, Jacob, believed this lie for many years. And now Joseph's brother stood before him, not knowing who Joseph was. What did they claim there in Genesis 42, verse 11? His brothers claimed to him, not knowing it was Joseph, we are true men. We are true men. Really? After the life that you lived, I mean, there's repentance, there's coming back to Christ. Yes, and you can be a true man. But I believe Joseph had a lot of doubt. I find it fascinating that he had to proclaim to the king, we are true men. We can show that to the world by living true men. Truth must be something more than we know. It must be something that we are. And I believe we are playing the devil's game when we are not true to what we know. When we compromise character, when we say one thing and do another, when we're loving one day and harsh the next, we're not able to stand against the enemy if we are not honest and truthful men. Ephesians 4:25 says, put away lying and every man speak the truth with his neighbor. He's sitting here tonight and we think that we don't struggle with lying. Lying does three things. It camouflages and hides the truth. The person that you're communicating with doesn't know the truth. I'm talking about being truthful people, honest integrity. Lying does three things. It camouflages and hides the truth. Number two, lying is deception. Deception is often used to get his or her own way. Deception is something used to cover up or to hide things. Deception is used to harm or to hurt a certain someone. And thirdly, lying destroys confidence, trust, love, security, and it even destroys hope. In order to win battles against the onslaught of evil, we must be truthful and honest men and women. We will lose if we are deceitful and hypocritical. We are called to be people who could be trusted, trustworthy people. We must continue to fill ourselves with good things, with true things. Stay close to God and His Word. Truth this evening is really under attack in our culture today. And I'd like to close by reading a passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like you to turn with me to that passage in closing. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 to 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick. Maybe I started reading too quick. I still heard pages going. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's a sad day. It's a sad day. If you and I, if we begin to question and doubt God and this book, we too will begin to turn away from the truth. So it's just a challenge to me and to all of you. Embrace the truth. Put on the belt of truth and live a life of honesty and truthfulness before God and before other people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pause before you this evening. We're thankful for the beautiful day that you bless us with. Thank you for the opportunity that we had to be able to come together and just look at your word. Lord, see what you have for each one of us. I just pray that you would bless this congregation, those that are here this evening in a special way. Lord, as I look across this audience tonight, I see a group of people who are dedicated to you and your word. And it's been a tremendous blessing. And help us to pass it on to the next generation, that they would be excited about the truth. We realize tonight that the devil would do anything to make us question your word. And so, God, we don't want to be naive to that, but, Lord, we want to stay close to you and guard us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.